in a moment by Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist. She's a writer. She writes a column that is syndicated in 150 newspapers across the United States every week. The column's called The Little Bird Told Me. And she's going to join me to explain to you how we do The Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is a lot of things, and one of the things that it is a theatrical presentation involving characters that I have created. Characters. And we just had a very nice couple here watching the show. They won a contest at the radio station, so they were allowed to come in and watch us do. That was the prize, to watch us do the show. And the comment was made to me that I always thought, Phil, you not only did your voice, you did the voice of the characters, but you also did the voice of the callers. And I said, no, I don't do the callers. I do me, and I do these little characters that I create. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's so hard to figure out. There are some people who like refer to me as a ventriloquist. You know, do you refer to like Gary Oldman as or Jeffrey Rush or people like that? Are they ventriloquists? They become characters. That's what I do. I become a character. I don't have my hand shoved up a puppet's rear end. But radio is so embarrassed by its own ability to be theatrical at times that it never, ever wants to refer to itself in theatrical terms. Radio writers and radio hosts, disc jockey, anybody who works in this business, not talking about television, talking about radio, they're really thoroughly embarrassed to be even doing this for a living. And so if you say to them, well, you know, this is kind of an art form that we engage in, and we are kind of engaged in presenting theater, oh, they don't want to hear that because it's too embarrassing. It's probably something that's beyond the talent of most people that do this for a living. Now, I'm going to bring Margaret on and to talk about this. You heard a lot of my comments, Margaret, concerning the theatricality of radio.
Oh, yes, I did. And bravo. Right, because you really...
What?
Well, you just sort of propped yourself up, didn't you?
Well, what do you mean, prop myself up?
But you're saying that most people don't have the theatrical ability, etc. Yes, you do, Phil. Let's get that out of the way. Of course you do. And it is something you should be proud of. I think also, though, you should have a little bit of humility.
Well, I have humility. I'm just saying I'm surrounded in this business. You're surrounded, for the most part, by people who are embarrassed or unable to create any kind of an entertaining a theatrical medium. You know, they just think it's about taking phone calls. And
by the way, I can vouch for the fact... Excuse me.
Now, that was actually me belching, wasn't it?
Yes, and that was. And you know something that's always bothered me?
What?
The fact that when you need to belch, you make your character do it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, yes, you do, because you're the one that's making me say these things.
No, I explain it.
Explain it. You never belch. You always make me do it. And so here I am, a character that you created. How old am I?
You're in your, I don't know, 40s or something.
And where am I from?
Originally from Pennsylvania.
I live in Santa Monica. See, you just did it again.
I'm sorry, all right?
If you need the belch, why don't you have yourself to? Oh, God, you're going to do it again, aren't you?
I'm afraid so.
God damn you. I really...
All right, now watch the language.
Oh, that's a good... I watch the language. You made me say that. And
I'm just asking you, you know, as a friend...
As a friend? Boy, are you sick. I'm your friend now. I'm your little imaginary friend.
Let's just answer these questions, okay?
Look, Phil, question.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm Harvey the freaking rabbit here? Am I your little invisible rabbit friend? Go ahead, say it.
You're somebody that I created, yeah.
Oh, you created me.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, let's clear something else up. I'm not pre-recorded, am I?
No, you're not pre-recorded.
Why don't you do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked that.
And you knew that I was going to ask it. You had me ask it, so go ahead, answer it.
I think that I don't pre-record anything because early on in my career, I used to pre-record a lot of bits. I used to record different things, and I found that it sucks. The more you record bits, the less funny it is, and if you keep it live, then you can always go with it, improv. You can improv your way out of it.
Great. Not that you're telling me, because I already knew you were going to say that since I'm you.
Right.
But we're hoping that the audience got it.
Well, we're hoping the audience got it.
But you don't do any of the voices of the callers.
No, I do not. We don't set calls up on this show. We don't pay people to call this show. I look at a dead phone board and I figure, well, screw it, nobody wants to call me, or maybe we better talk about something else. I don't have my friends call in, and we don't have people, you know, call in at a given time to get things going. That's jive. We don't do it.
All right. So, in other words, the only thing on the program that is pre-planned are these different characters that you've created.
Right.
All right. Why don't we bring on a different... And by the way, I'm you.
You are me, and...
And you're doing my voice.
Yes.
All right. Let's bring on someone else then.
All right. Like, Harvey Wireman is at home in San Marino, California. Harvey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I had to laugh there.
I laughed at the same thing, Harvey. He's at home in San Marino.
I don't even GD exist. Okay? So, why do you say I'm at home in San Marino? And why do you give me such poor physical health?
Well, you're an attorney, retired attorney, used to work pro bono, and you were the ACLU for a while.
About also, Shepard brought up, too, because she chaps my hide.
I was just pointing out...
Yeah, you were just pointing out. Let me just point something out to you.
What's that?
There's the door. Can I point that out? Just go.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you want me to say?
Well, tell me about you. You were in the Marine Corps?
Supposedly I was in the Marine Corps. I fought at Saipan and I don't know, any other BS that you've made up.
And you have a son who was killed falling from a Ferris wheel at the Indiana State Fair while campaigning for the state Senate in Indiana.
Yeah, if you say so. Whatever.
And let's see. One time, you dragged a kid to his death because you didn't know that his bicycle had gotten caught in the rear fender of your car.
Yeah, okay, great. And another great thing that you did, I'd like to inform the listeners of this, Phil killed off my wife 3 years ago. Thank you very much. Asshole, because I...
Well, what do you care? You don't exist.
I don't care. It's nice to know that I have a wife. It's nice to know that I've got one. And,
You think it's sad?
Yeah. She was a wonderful woman.
Well, she didn't exist.
Okay. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. And also, the other thing is, what's this backstory about me only being able to have a bowel movement at 8 p.m. every night? Well, you know that at 8 o'clock some of the best shows come on.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on a toilet.
Well, not really. Only when I'm thinking about you sitting on a toilet are you, in point of fact, sitting on one, okay?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you say. By the way, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why'd you make my wife, who died 3 years ago, a lesbian? Because that wouldn't help me out either.
All right, Harvey, I'm not going to argue with me.
Look, you're sitting with... You're metal.
Oh, he hung up on me, a guy that I invented. That's great. And I've been accused of being out of my freaking mind, so you know what? I could care less, because that goes along with the self-conscious posture of a lot of people in this business. You know, you can't do this kind of thing because it just, you know, it's too crazy, man. Why don't you be crazy in the acceptable morning zoo fashion, Phil? Why do you have to be crazy in a completely unique way? That's what they tell me. And a guy who would probably relate to being crazy, R.C. Collins.
Yeah, Phil, you had me doing some weird thing yesterday.
I can't remember what that was. You were,
Yeah, you had me talking about going out to an Indian reservation.
Oh, that's right, because of the way the adults had messed up the election.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I just remembered.
All right,
Yeah, wait, you couldn't think of anything to say there?
No, I just realized how strange this is. Look, I got to hang up on myself.
Please.
Okay. I got to, Well, here I am. I'm naked. Naked to the world. There you go. That's what I do. And I do it every day, and I do it because I enjoy it, and that's just who I am, and that's the way that our show works. And even though I have just explained it in some detail, it won't make any difference. We will resume our broadcast. We'll resume our character portion of the show in about 17 or 18 minutes, and it won't make any difference. We'll still get all kinds of people calling in wanting to talk to these people that we create. And that doesn't mean that people are stupid. It means that it's the nature of the beast that people only hear what they want to hear. And I know you think that, once that I've done this, I've let the cat out of the bag and people, I'll never get another caller. No, it's just trust me. Just follow my lead on this, okay? You trust Phil, everything's going to be fine. People hear what they want to hear, and they respond to what they want to respond to. And talk show callers have got nothing whatsoever to do with talk radio listeners. Nothing. And when I found that out, my life got so much better, because we found out that we could do something that would entertain the audience and utilize those callers at the same time. So, you know, people call talk shows, they think that they're getting it said. Well, most hosts of talk shows couldn't care less what people have to say. In fact, all of them, every single guy and every single woman that does a radio talk show in America doesn't have the least bit of interest in what you've got to say. Now, you think that I'm wrong and you think that I'm lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. They only care about you calling their show insofar as it can fill up 3 minutes of dead air and make them look good by making a really good point, by beating you up or agreeing with you or otherwise using you to inflate themselves. But they don't care what you've got to say. Oh, I know, Phil. What you're doing is you're engaging in hyperbole. No, I mean, literally, they don't care what you got to say. Just so long as you call. We don't do that to you. We use you. We abuse you. We humiliate you. We infuriate you. We make you cry. We make you scream. We do it, with the full knowledge that you're aware of what's going on, and you engage in it willingly. And we do it for the greater enjoyment of the audience at large, so that when we have callers call up and we humiliate them and use profanity, and in one case, 3 days ago, I think it was 3 nights ago, one lady was reduced to tears whose husband was in chemotherapy. And guess what? As sad as that situation was for that lady, we didn't care. We didn't care. We took the call. We used it. And we made it great. And on top of that, we made it funny. Now, you tell me, who else can do that? Well, the answer is nobody. All right, so we'll be right back after in a moment by Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist. She's a writer. She writes a column that is syndicated in 150 newspapers across the United States every week.